Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, July 22nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a health problem lays up a gubernatorial candidate, the Independence Party candidate for U.S. Senate, and racial disparities persist among children. Emergency stomach surgery has temporarily knocked the Republican-endorsed candidate for governor off the campaign trail. Tim Pugmire reports.
Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson is recovering at a hospital in Maple Grove after surgery to repair a small perforation in his stomach. Johnson made an early morning visit to urgent care, complaining of abdominal pain. Doctors then determined he needed surgery. Campaign advisor Greg Pepin said Johnson was still resting and he had not yet talked to him or his doctors. He said the pre-surgery indications were that it was nothing serious. Pepin said Johnson's public schedule will be impacted for at least a couple of days. He said the campaign will provide updates when more information is available. Johnson is running in a four-way primary contest on August 12th. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
DFL Senator Al Franken will have a Republican opponent this fall, of course, but he'll also have an Independence Party candidate to deal with. Minnesota's third major party hasn't won a statewide election since Jesse Ventura's surprise gubernatorial victory in 1998. But IP candidates have drawn significant support and have had a big impact on the outcome of statewide elections. Could it happen again this year? Mark Zedeklik reports.
Meet Kevin Terrell, the 2014 Independence Party endorsed Senate candidate.
Government in America should be of the people, by the people, for the people. And what we're seeing is an awful lot of the government happening to the people.
Terrell is 50 years old. He's worked in military intelligence, and he's held several corporate management positions. He talks a lot about efficiency and accountability and doing the most with the least.
For me, it's not a question of bigger government or smaller government. It's a question of better government. How do we get value from government?
Terrell serves on his Lyndhurst Neighborhood Association board in Minneapolis, and he's organized several thousand people against airport noise. He says he has more government experience than Al Franken when he first ran for Senate, and more than businessman Mike McFadden, the likely Republican nominee. Terrell says he's the best choice to represent Minnesotans in the Senate because he is not tied to either of the two huge political parties and the special interests that fund them.
I want to connect Washington back to the people. The Beltway is an ever-growing moat, if you will, around Washington, D.C., that's separating Washington from the people. The only special interest I have is the people of Minnesota.
For now, Terrell's Southwest Minneapolis home also serves as his campaign headquarters. He's assembled a small staff.
Sean is our field manager, working to get people to parades, festival events, and those sorts of things.
And he's already airing radio ads at a couple of stations in the Twin Cities.
If you're tired of out-of-touch politicians who just vote the party line, then please check out my accountability plan at ktforthepeople.com.
The Independence Party attained major political party status in Minnesota following the 1994 election. Judging from several elections since then, it's unlikely Terrell will win his bid for Senate. But tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people may vote for him. In the 2008 Senate election, the recount concluded Al Franken had just 312 more votes than Senator Norm Coleman. More than 437,000 Minnesotans cast ballots for IP candidate Dean Barkley. That's more than 15% of those voting. Washington University political scientist Stephen Smith says in 2008, polls showed Coleman was losing far fewer supporters to Barkley than was Franken.
And so maybe Franken could have won that election with a sufficiently large amount to avoid the recount. But as it turns out, he won anyway. So Barkley probably didn't tip the balance.
A big question for 2014 is whether Terrell is more likely to attract voters who would typically support a Democrat, such as Al Franken, or those who lean Republican. Stephen Smith says some Republican-leaning voters may find Terrell's conservative talk about efficiency and accountability appealing, as well as his more liberal stance on social issues such as abortion and same-sex marriage.
So it could be that there will be people out there who are unhappy with the incumbent, Al Franken, who don't find the Republican candidate, especially on social issues, to be quite the alternative they want, and will end up casting votes for Terrell. But Terrell will have to be viewed by many of them as a reasonably viable alternative.
Even though he's only raised about $20,000 for his campaign, with half of it coming out of his own bank account, Terrell promises he'll be a viable alternative to Franken and whomever Republicans put up against him.
I think what you can see from us is a new level of strategy behind the scenes in terms of smarts on who we're going after and how, and using that to wisely target not only obviously voters, but money.
Terrell says he expects to spend less than $1 million on his Senate campaign. He's hoping the debates and the media attention they draw will help him gain attention, just as they have for other Independence Party candidates. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison is leading efforts to bring more unaccompanied children fleeing Central America to Minnesota. But immigration advocates are concerned that the state might not be able to handle the crush of children who need care and have complex legal issues. The Star Tribune reports that Ellison says Minnesota is as well equipped as any other state to handle the children. Meanwhile, advocates say Minnesota's overall strong numbers for child well-being hide some real pockets of concern for children of color. The Kids Count data book, released today by the Annie E. Casey Foundation and the Children's Defense Fund Minnesota, ranks the state fifth overall in the nation. But the report also found Minnesota has some of the worst disparities in the country, with almost half of Minnesota's black children living in poverty. Sasha Eslanian reports.
For more than a decade, Kids Count has ranked Minnesota in the top five states for overall child well-being. The annual snapshot compares data from every state, focusing on 16 indicators of economic well-being, education, health, family, and community. Minnesota ranked fourth for economic well-being, just behind neighboring North and South Dakota and Iowa. In health, Minnesota slipped a couple spots to 17, and in education, it moved up a spot to number six. Stephanie Hoganson, Research and Policy Director with the Children's Defense Fund Minnesota, says many, but not all, of Minnesota's children are thriving.
So when we look at the numbers broken down by race and ethnicity, some of the educational outcomes, we know that children of color and American Indian children are less likely to be prepared for kindergarten and less likely to be enrolled in nursery school, preschool at age 3 to 5.
Hoganson says almost a third of second graders enrolled in public schools in Minnesota are children of color. So figuring out how to help children of all races succeed in Minnesota schools is a problem of growing urgency. Minneapolis's Northside Achievement Zone is a program that's working to address the kind of disparities flagged in the Kids Count report. At a summer school program at Plymouth Christian Youth Center, teacher Helen Fogg reads a book with kindergartners.
It's three letters, B-A-D. She feels
grumpy.
Bad. I feel grumpy and mean, so you're right. Bad, grumpy, mean, they all kind of mean the same thing.
By the time children are in fourth grade in Minnesota, 59% are not proficient in reading. Hoganson of the Children's Defense Fund says the numbers are more worrisome for kids of color. Nearly 80% of black and Hispanic children aren't hitting the fourth grade benchmark in reading.
The hungry bear.
8-year-old Elijah took a reading test at another NAS summer school site to track how he was doing.
All day long at night, it was cold and damp.
Last summer, NAS data showed a majority of kids like Elijah gained at least half a grade doing intensive work over the summer. NAS is in a high-poverty neighborhood and tries to help families tackle a range of issues, from employment to housing, that affect children's achievement. Hoganson from the Children's Defense Fund Minnesota says since 1990, the year of the first Kids Count data book, the number of children in Minnesota living in areas where more than 30% of residents live in poverty has doubled from 3% to 6%.
High poverty areas oftentimes are less safe. They have fewer resources like parks and tutoring programs, and it's more difficult to be able to play outside, higher pollution rates, as well as poorer performing schools.
Kids Count found the economic recovery has come more slowly for poor families. The 2012 data showed 15% of Minnesota children living in poverty, still several percentage points higher than it was in 2005. Sasha Eslanian, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.